This is your classic It's Breakfast with Jordan Curtis, and especially in a year where we've had a pandemic, scarcity of resources and, you know, making sure we have what we need comes very evident, and fuel is one of those in particular. I'm joined this morning by Mark Borlay, Senior Manager of Future Mobility at the RAA. Mark, how are you this morning?
Very good, thanks, mate.
So Australia has lost another refinery. It's set to be shut down, which means our fuel capabilities are a little less than what they used to be. What's going on?
Well, currently what happens is, well, for South Australia particularly, most of our fuel comes from Singapore. But Australia-wide, we had, as you said, four refineries a couple of years ago. Because of the drop in demand in COVID, two of them have mothballed their plants, but have now made decisions not to start them back up. And there's a third one in Brisbane that may be under the same sort of pressure. So we've got a couple of things going on. One is we're losing the capability to produce our own fuel, so it means everything has to be imported, potentially, and if it does, it can have to come through some awkward parts of the world, and some of them are controlled by China. And we also have at the same time an energy security issue that we don't actually have enough space to store fuel on here to at least have 3 months' supply for Australia for our own needs. So the federal government have come out and said, look, they're going to put up $200 million to co-fund some additional storage with industry if they put up propositions. So what that means is they'll be looking for partners that obviously can store it. One of the major parts about it, because it's coming in by boat, it's going to have to be aligned with some sort of harbour or wharf facility, and that's where, you know, currently really South Australia main one is out of Birkenhead, where it comes in there, and Port Lincoln over there. But there are some other wharfs being built for the mining area up around the northern region. So hopefully, you know, they may be candidates. I'm not sure, but it's just about making sure that everybody understands that those fuel security is becoming a bit more of a risk in this uncertain times.
So what are some of the biggest risks then if our fuel security is threatened?
Well, if you've got refineries, you can get crude, and not every refinery can make fuel out of every crude. It needs certain types. If we've got refineries and there's a problem in one part of the world, there's some chance we'll be able to get oil from another part of the world and bring that across in those sort of times. Whereas if we're just bringing in what they call refined product, you know, petrol that's made, then you're limited to where you can get that from. Now, you know, there's some slight pressure being reduced over the next two decades as we go to electric vehicles. So there will be, you know, we won't be so reliant on fossil fuels for driving our vehicles, but we're still, you know, a couple of decades of at least having to need it.
And of course, it's not just automobiles, but aircraft as well.
Yeah, so the thing with it is that once you start a refinery, you can't just say, look, I'm going to build a refinery and only produce petrol. Once you turn an oil refinery on, you get everything. You get avgas, you get diesel, you get petrol, etc. So you need to have markets for all of those that are evenly able to take those. Now, if once you start coming down in those one refinery, you're starting to get some problems about scale and all that sort of stuff that as we've seen through COVID, when the demand for aviation fuel dried up, it becomes a problem.
For sure. And I guess what should the government be looking at doing? Of course, they're looking at more storage than just 3 months. What else can they be doing?
Well, they at least need to have an energy policy, you know, a proper energy policy, so that everybody knows what their intention is about what they want the energy to be in the future, whether they want hydrogen, whether they want more electric vehicles, whether they want fuels that are more cleaner for the environment. When that policy's out, then industry can have some sort of certainty that if they invest, that won't be wasted, because any time you invest in oil refineries, simply because of the cost of them, you know, they're in the billions of dollars, they want at least a 10-year clear certainty of what the government's going to do, and the sooner we start to see the detail on that, then, you know, more certainty will come for business to invest.
And I guess maybe if fossil fuels, we're going to be less reliant on them in the future, I guess refineries won't be as confident an endeavour.
Yeah, and they're very complex to build, so you don't build, as I say, you don't build them for a short life, and once they're gone, it's very hard for, you know, to start them up again. You know, people won't invest back in it, support Stanback in particular. When we lost that facility, the government actually had to have staff that were making sure that we were, you know, that they knew what was on the water coming to us so that we didn't run out of fuel. In fact, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, we nearly ran out of diesel over on the Eyre Peninsula right in the middle of summer because there was some boats were delayed and rerouted, and we potentially, you know, could have had a situation where there was no diesel for fire trucks in the middle of our fire season.
Mm. So really up the creek without a paddle.
Yeah, so it is critical. There needs to be some future plans in place so that everybody knows what's going on.
And I guess the problem with governments is that they're never really looking more than 4 years in front, are they?
No, they're outside that cycle, and because a lot of it's tied up in the climate change debate, and you know, there's a lot of politics in there, and what we haven't seen is a lot of policy in there, and that's what we want.
Well, I will leave it there. Mark, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks for your interest, Jordan.
That's Mark Borlase, Senior Manager of Future Mobility at the REA on your Classic It's Breakfast.